Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verses 1 through 4, and verses 20 and 21. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. So far, some text. In Christ Jesus, the only refuge for the weary, dear fellow redeemed. We mentioned last Sunday that the first half of this book of Isaiah is filled with proclamations of judgment against individual kingdoms, against mankind because of their vainglory. God's glory will not put up with the vainglory, the arrogance, the pride, the boasting, the self-sufficiency of mankind. And so in the past few weeks, we've heard of God's impending judgment upon some powerful nations, Babylon, and the powerful king. Remember how we heard the inhabitants of hell were eagerly waiting for him to come to hell? Last Sunday, powerful yet little small nation of Phoenicia, and that great port city of Tyre would be destroyed. And also Egypt, and their so-called gods, the pharaohs. But beginning with chapter 24, which was our scripture reading this morning, the Lord expands his judgment upon nations and talks about the judgment upon the whole world. Not just individual nations, but everybody. Priests and people alike. The imagery is devastating, as we read in Isaiah 24. Didn't that just strike you as you read those words? Everything is going to be destroyed. Everything we glory in, our big buildings, the mountains, the seas, all be destroyed. Yet, the remnant will be preserved. The believing child of God can look upon the day of judgment with joy and confidence, looking forward to the salvation, the deliverance of his soul and his body being fulfilled. So in our text in chapter 26, the Lord describes for us the song that's going to be sung by the believers on that great day of judgment. And so we have entitled as our theme, A Song of the Safety and Peace of the Believer in the Day of Judgment. This song is really 19 verses long. It's chapter 26, verses 1 to 19. We're just looking at the first four verses of the psalm and of the song. We'll look at the first four verses again. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks upon the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Isaiah is drawing a picture here of a city, but it's a spiritual city. It's the New Jerusalem. It's the Church of God. It's the Holy Christian Church. He uses a picture of a city that is strong and well-fortified, is at peace. Her strong walls, her bulwarks are a picture of the grace of Christ. That's my power. That's your power. The power of the believer is the grace of Jesus Christ. So not even the powers of hell can overcome that. Not even the powers of hell cannot prevail against it. A redemption through Jesus Christ is that strong wall of defense that no enemy can penetrate. No enemy can crawl over. No enemy can destroy. Our God is our mighty fortress. In fact, in chapter 33, Isaiah uses that term. He says, our God is a mountain fortress. And in chapter 43, our security and our Savior God is described in these words. Listen carefully. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, bought you back. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. With such complete, assured security and safety, we can listen to those words of Solomon with a wondrous meaning for us when he says to us, "Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet." With such a powerful God, and such a powerful grace, undeserved love surrounding us, we can boldly say with the author to the Hebrews, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid." May we remember these passages tonight when we lay our head down on our pillow and we say our prayers, and we will have a good night's sleep. But there's something missing in this picture that Isaiah draws for us. That's the inhabitants of the city. The city of God, heaven, is always open for more and more people. And so he calls upon the people that are dwelling there to fling open their gates and welcome in more people into this holy city of God. But who can enter in? The Lord tells us, "The righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may enter in." Two qualities here of the child of God. One is righteousness. The other is keeping the truth. That is, being steadfast. We know from Scripture that I don't have, you don't have any righteousness of your own. We're born and conceived, dead in sins, totally depraved, nothing but sins in our hearts. That righteousness is Christ's righteousness. His perfect obedience, his death upon the cross, is given to us through faith. Therefore, all who enter the gates of heaven are those who have been brought to faith in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, who have remained in that faith from the time they're brought to faith until the time they die, to the end, steadfast and faithful. That's our security. That's our fortress. That's our assurance, not only on Judgment Day, but every single day of our lives. Jesus and him crucified and risen again. Just about every Lenten season, we sing these comforting words: "Jesus, refuge of the weary, blessed Redeemer whom we love, fountain in life's desert dreary, Savior from the world above. Here we have a firm foundation, here the refuge of the lost, Christ the rock of our salvation, his the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt, none shall ever be confounded who on him their hope have built." And together with the safety in Christ, we have a rare measure of peace and contentment. Rare because we don't find it on this earth anywhere but when you're in Christ. We read verse 3. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." What do we sing in that hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus"? "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." In this past year with COVID, more and more people are experiencing stress-related illnesses. Even though we have the best of conveniences and appliances to make our lives easier, more comfortable, more and more people are stressed out than ever. Our life is fast-paced, demands more and more of us, and increasingly it destroys our peace, our contentment, our rest and well-being. Where can we find rest and peace? Where can we find real, lasting rest and peace? Well, a week's vacation is nice. 2 weeks even better. But that's only part of, in fact, not very really much of a solution to the stress we might have in our lives. In fact, when we come back from a vacation, very often the stress is still there. The anxiety, the fast pace is still there. Vacation and time off is just an escape rather than a remedy. But Isaiah gives us a real remedy. He says, stay on the Lord. And the word stay means to lean on, to rest on, to rely on the Lord. For if your mind is stayed on the Lord says, you'll have perfect peace. Wow. Can you imagine perfect peace? I've had peace, but not perfect peace. That's what we're going to have in heaven. Perfect peace. Our Savior promised that too. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's the peace that passes understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So what does all this mean? In our life. What does this mean to your and my daily living? Let's give a few examples. To the housewife with little children at home, after a hectic day of chasing after little ones, picking up after them over and over again, chores never seeming to come to an end, stay your heart and mind on Jesus. Relax and unwind by meditating in God's word and prayer. The Lord knows your needs. He'll provide you with the patience and the strength and the special love that a mother needs to have for her little ones who try her patience over and over again. To the home working mother, when your energy is spent at your job and now you come home and find a mountain of things yet to do, you find yourself coming and going and meeting yourself in between, relax. Stay your mind and heart on Jesus by spending time in his word and in meditative prayer. To the working father and husband, you got to work to meet the needs of your boss. And you got to pay your bills. Sometimes we're working overtime. But you also got to spend time with your children because they're important. And spend time with your spouse because you got to keep that relationship going. And relax. Stay your heart on Jesus. Read his promises. Meditate upon them. Listen to the Bible in your car on the way to work, in your car on the way home, for the Holy Spirit will lead you to apply these words to your life. To a teenager and young adult, when you're being pulled this way and that in many directions with the peer pressure of your friends, decisions that need to be made with your school, with your part-time job, with your work, with your family, when life doesn't seem fair and you think, man, God gave him or her a lot more talents and good looks than I even have. Or you can't get along with your parents. Relax. Stay your heart and mind on Jesus. Get involved in his word. Read it daily as your guide. Pray for the Spirit's guiding your choices you make and the actions that you take. To the parents who are raising children in today's society, seeing all the immorality and the vulgarity in movies and music, concerned about the friends your children are hanging around with, knowing that you've consistently given them loving discipline, but you still wonder whether they're going to respond to it well. Relax. Stay your heart and mind upon Jesus. As a couple, read the Bible together. As parents, pray for your children and pray with your children. Have that daily devotion centered around Jesus' love for you and your children as a family. To the suffering Christian, illnesses have racked your body. Fears have attacked your mind and heart. You wonder if God has forsaken you. And maybe you're being punished for something you did earlier in your life, and that's why you're suffering. You can't imagine this pain going on for the rest of your life, and you're becoming depressed and despairing. Relax. Stay your heart and mind on Jesus. Get the word out. And in your sufferings, cast all your worries, anxieties, cares upon the Lord Jesus, and then strengthen your heart, filling your heart with his word, with his many, many promises he gives to you. And to every Christian, whatever age or whatever sex, whatever background or employment, who tries to worship the Lord in sincerity and truth, who tries to flee the world who would deceive us, who tries to follow the Lord Jesus in his actions and his words, but finds that he's constantly fighting that stupid, sinful flesh that keeps saying, don't do this, but do this. Relax. And stay your heart upon Jesus. Place all your sins on the loving Savior. Know that he's paid for them in full. Meditate on his word, not just morning when you're a captive audience here sitting in church, but every single day. As you're going to work, as you're at work, as you're going to play, as you're at home, whatever you're doing, remember God's word and keep his word in your heart. As you approach the daily chores, trials, temptations, failures, faults, this is God's prescription for a healthy and happy lifestyle in heart and mind and soul. And the best thing, it always, always works. God is faithful to his promises. We conclude this first portion of the Song of Praise with verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. What did Isaiah say? Trust in the Lord forever. Not just today or tomorrow, or when things are bad, or even just for a lifetime. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, and Yah is a shortened form of Jehovah, for in Yah, Jehovah is everlasting strength. And literally it is, for in Yah is the everlasting rock, the rock of ages. As you said, this song ends in verse 19 of this chapter 26. We've chosen to pick also the last two verses of this text, or this chapter, verses 20 and 21. The Lord says to Isaiah, come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her sins. Where is that room? Where is that chamber that we can hide on judgment day? Where can we run to hide from all the destruction and damnation and judgment of God? That room, that chamber, it's God's word. It's his grace in Christ Jesus that covers our sins and washes them away and says we can stand before God righteous in his eyes. So flee to the cross. Look to Jesus alone. Hide yourself in Christ's shed blood. For on that last great day of atonement, last great day of judgment, the Lord is going to punish all the unbelievers. And everything in this world is going to dissolve and be burnt up. He's going to recreate a new heaven and a new earth. It's interesting in this text, it says, all those who are slain, all the bloodshed of the world is going to be revealed before the Lord. What a frightful sight. Frightful it is to those who have no refuge, no safety, no fortress, no rock, no security, no Savior to hide in or to cling to. Thank God that we've been assured of safety in Christ and of peace in Christ, everlasting life in Christ on Judgment Day and on into eternity, so that we will not tremble in fear, but instead the Lord calls upon us to confidently, yet also humbly and with repentant hearts, cry out to him, come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. Amen. The peace of God, which passes as all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, our Rock of Ages, Jesus Christ. Amen.